So we're doing Romans, and this is an incredible book. It's like dynamite in your hands. It should change your attitude. It should change your heart. It should change your future. And it should change how the way you handle South Africa right now. We've got people that are falling left, right, and center, some from COVID and some from attitude. And we've got to, at this time, either decide this is a misery that the devil has thrown upon us, or it's a ministry that God has given to us. And so I'm going to stand with the character in the midst of this unbelievable opposition, and we're going to be ministered to by God and come through this with flying colors and become a beacon and a lighthouse to our nation where people can come and get saved and set free.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen?
And so let's read this. Therefore, it says in chapter 5, and we know this, friends, if you've ever seen the word therefore, you know something has gone before. And you've got to know what's gone before. So we know a number of things. In the book of Romans, there's good news for bad people, gays, gluttons, greedy people, sexual immorality. There's good news for bad people, and unfortunately for Pretoria, there's bad news for good people. So you guys have been stuck in the church your whole life serving God. If you don't know the righteousness of Christ, your deeds, the Bible says, are like a used tampon. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say it. You can try and be good and you can give up smoking and give up swearing, but unless you believe in Jesus, the Bible says like a filthy rag. So there's bad news for good people and good news for bad people, but then God gives us His righteousness, which gets credited to us. Say credited to us. It gets credited to us. It said there's this problem that we need to be addressed. Then God addresses the problem by giving us righteousness that comes by faith, not by works. And then Romans 5 says, therefore, because you've now got this credited righteousness, friends, I don't know if you know that lady who sat here in the front of the church 3 weeks ago when we gave her money, but that lady's husband was murdered by going to a shop on a Friday night to go and fetch some groceries for his family. When he went into that shop, there was an armed robber and he got shot dead. But 3 weeks ago, she brought her family to church by faith. By faith, and she pushed through the crowd by faith, and she said to her children, by faith, we will go and stand in the front of the church. We will sit down here and believe God despite the trouble we're going through. And God chose to credit her. God chose to credit her. And you've got to know, friends, that the credit of Christ is enough to deal with my sin, past, present, and future. Say that with me, past, present, and future. So the sins that you are still going to commit have been credited already by Jesus. I have seen porn addicts get saved instantly like this. Come to the front, repent of their pornography, get saved instantly and never look at it again. I've seen others struggling for years and buckled over. I want to tell you, friends, we don't struggle with sin buckled over. We struggle with sin standing up straight with the righteousness of Christ upon me. And every time I go into debt, I draw upon the righteousness of Christ until I learn that that credit is greater than my debt. Do you understand that? Therefore, so I don't buckle under sin. I don't buckle under bad choices. I don't buckle under my future sin. God is secured my salvation until the day that Jesus comes back here. I'm not nervous about it. I can't lose it. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm secure in Christ. That's the book of Romans. And you say, Rory, that's too good to be true. Exactly. That's why it's called good news. The credit that gets allocated to my account is greater than any debt that I can incur through my stupidity. You say it's too good to be true. That's not how we grew up. No, that's why I'm teaching you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. Say access. Access denied, access denied. Can't go to school, can't go to the shopping centers, can't go to the movies, can't go to the rugby, can't go to the soccer, can't go to the watch our kids' games, can't go. Access denied, access denied, access denied, access denied. The access to heaven has never been denied. And it doesn't matter what level of lockdown we live in, the access to the grace of God has never, ever been denied. And the only way we find ourselves in difficulty is because we have not exercised the privilege that you and I have into the access of the grace of God. Say, I have peace with God. What's the opposite of peace? Turmoil. Trouble. Chaos. Anxiety. Fear. Fighting. Friends, we can look at the history of the last 100 years. We've got World War I. Hundreds of thousands died. World War II. When World War II was over, we had the Cold War. When the Cold War over, we had the Vietnam War. When the Vietnam War was over, we had the Korean War. When the Korean War was over, we had the nuclear war. Then we had the space war. Then we've got turf wars. Then we've got gang wars. This whole world is in turmoil. And then we just have to get into our own hearts. And you say you go to bed with peace of mind. Say peace of mind, or with turmoil, war inside of your heart and inside of your mind. And we don't have peace of mind. But you know what the Bible says? I have peace with God. Say, I have peace with God. And so it doesn't actually matter what happens in our nation, friends. It doesn't matter. America are fighting against China right now. Korea is fighting against South Korea. There's a war that's happening in Syria. All around us is a war, and this nation can break into war at any time. We've got the ANC fighting with everybody else. We've got the police force that are corrupt. There's war all around us. But you know what the Bible says? I have peace with God. Say that, I have peace with God. And we're looking around us here. If I look around this nation, then everything inside of me says, just get out here. Friends, there's a bigger war in England around sexuality and morality and authority. And you go to America, and before you know it, you'll be caught in a materialism war that you don't even understand. You just get sales bombarded all the time. Before you know it, you compare. There's a war, and you immigrate to Australia so that you're safer, so that we get our kids out of the war. And I tell you what, you go and live in Australia all safely, and your kids end up serving the devil. Friends, there is a war going around, but I have got peace with God. Say that, peace. Peace with God. That is my theological position. I have peace with God. And that is enough for me to cope in any circumstance, under any conditions, with any finances. I've got peace. And when people come into my sphere, they should come under the shalom blessing of God's peace.
Come on. Yes, Lord.
That's right.
This scripture, Romans 5, you must read and read and read and read and get on your knees and ask God to reveal to you, because Romans 5, chapter 1 to 11, I believe, is the foundation in which South Africans should be standing on at this time. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus Christ. Capital L, capital J, capital C. Boss. Boss. When you see capital letters, boss. Who's your boss now? Ramaphosa, your boss? The economy, your boss? COVID, your boss? The future of South Africa, your boss? The well-being of your children, your boss? And a lady whose husband gets killed, she pushes through the crowds, like that woman with the issue of blood. She pushes through the crowd. She brings her children, says, we're going to sit here and we're going to declare to this nation that Jesus Christ is Lord. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Say stand. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We never ever stand under the law again. We never ever stand under condemnation again. We never ever stand under criticism again. We never ever stand under the debauchery of our past. We stand under grace. My past is dealt with. My present is dealt with. And my future is secure. And I stand there. You might be in a business right now, in your natural world, which is going down the tubes, and you in debt up to your eyeballs, spiritually, you are standing in the presence of God under His grace. That word access has got two pictures. One, I've been ushered into the presence of a king, and secondly, I have been taken by a tugboat into a harbor. And so I find myself in the storms of life, I find myself under the peace of God. So many voices shouting, so many things. Stop watching the news and read Romans 5. Stop watching News 24. Delete it off your phone and read Romans 5. And we rejoice. Say rejoice. No. Rejoice. Say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I'll say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I'll say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. That's what the scripture's about. Three times we'll see that word. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The future is not going to be determined by the ANC. Or by the world powers that release COVID. It'll be determined by God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Say rejoice in our sufferings. Woo-hoo-hoo. How are you doing? No, we're not. Most of us are failing dismally. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. Oh, that horrible word. And character produces hope. Say hope. Let me show you where we were this day 2 years ago. Can you put that DVD on for me, please? 2 years ago today, this is where we were. Years ago today, that's where we were. We didn't know COVID was coming. We didn't know an economic crisis was coming, but we had a word in our heart that God was going to give us a building.
Amen.
And now we're sitting here 2 years. Where will we be in 2 years time from today? Where will we be in 2 years time from today? You think, Flip, I don't know, but I have got hope.
Yes.
You see, friends, hope in the Bible and hope in my heart is different. Hope in the Bible is certain. God has given us a set of promises and nothing can undermine it. And so suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. We've got a couple of heroes in Pretoria. One is North Buerta. Burger Geldenhuis, Victor Matfield, and Mornay Stein. Who like dinge, Mornay? Lekker. What is your best ding? The Lions. 12 years ago, as a 26-year-old, standing with 55,000 people, most of them from overseas, shouting at him to miss, he gets tested, and he puts the ball down, and a whole series which we've been waiting for 12 years to have, leans on a 26-year-old Pretoria man called Mornay Stein, and we sit there and think, will he, won't he, will he, won't he, will he, won't he, and he slots the ball. 12 years later, they pull him out of retirement. The whole series rests on Mornay Stein. How many of you felt secure? Because he's tested, he's got character, he's been in the situation before. God is busy preparing us to stand in this nation where people will trust us because we've developed a character under pressure that knows how to kick a goal over the poles. And people say, we'll trust the church because actually they've been tested and proved faithful. And when he's 48 years old, we're going to pull him out of retirement for the next series. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, say right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. When we go to the Kruger, my wife says to me, if we got attacked by a lion, would you protect me? And I said, if you can keep up with me, of course. I'll do it gladly. Yeah, yeah. But how many of you have got a list of people I'm willing to die for? I mean, it's not a very long list, is it? I mean, let's be brutally honest. Would I die for you? No, thank goodness Jesus did, so I don't have to. But the reality is I probably wouldn't die for you. But I mean, I'm a shepherd, but I mean, listen. I mean, let's talk about the money. Some of you are so rich, I might die for you. But we don't have a long list of people we'd die for, eh? If we're brutally honest. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more? Say how much more? How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more? Say how much more? How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice. Say rejoice. We rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I rejoice in my position in Christ. I'm justified. I have got access. I have got faith. I have got peace. I have got grace. I rejoice in that. And just before you think that everything's going to be hunky-dory in this world, he says, in this world you're going to have trouble, but I learn how to rejoice. It says this in Matthew 16, I give you my peace. I give you my peace. In this world you will have trouble, but do not be afraid, for I've overcome the world. Friends, I want you to listen to me. This is what happens with Christians in Pretoria. When they go through tough times, they think God is punishing them. God punished Jesus. He will never, ever punish you. So get your theology right. Can I repeat that? When you go through trouble, God is not punishing you. He punished Jesus. So we never have to fear about the punishment of God, because I stand in his grace and nothing can move me out there, even if you watched porno last night. Do I want you to watch porno? No. Does God want you to watch porno? No. Is it right watching porno? Well, your heart will tell you if it's right or not. Your conscience will tell you if it's right or not. You will come here feeling all guilty and shameful. But friends, not buckled over if you understand the teaching of Christ. You will understand that there's a white sheet over you. You are now sitting here in debt and you are drawing upon the righteousness of God, and you will not punish and crash your car because you watched porn last night. You say, Rory, it's heresy. No, that's the Bible. And as we start to draw on the credited righteousness, we learn how to live in victory and actually defeat the sin and powers over our lives. Amen? You'll never be punished, but there will be trouble. Why? Because trouble produces perseverance. Trouble produces perseverance. And I've got to say this to you Christians. I'm under grace. I'm under freedom. I'm peace with God, but toughen up. You've got to lift your pain threshold. We are whinging and whining about a theology that can't underpin us in tough times. Toughen up. Lift your pain threshold. The Bible says women are weaker than men. Go into a labor ward and we'll talk again. But when my fourth child was born at 5 kgs, she's been tested. The first baby, I popped a vein in my eyes. I was pushing so hard. The doctor says, stick your head out the window, young man. Okay, so I come back again and she's looking at me thinking, what's your problem? Have you ever seen a mother who does not rejoice in the pain of what her labor has produced? Have you ever seen it? And yet that pain somehow produces something that completely consumes your life. You will have trouble. There's no avoid. You see, friends, what happens is like we say, well, I had a happy childhood. Well, awesome for you. Some of you had troubled childhood. You know the problem in Pretoria is we're trying to make our childhood so happy that we're avoiding the process that God uses to develop character, which is trouble. We are smothering our children. And if they're not happy at Die Wilgers, then we take them to De Waterkloof. And they're not happy at De Waterkloof, we take them to the Hoërskool. And if they're not happy at the Hoërskool, then we take them to, and then we go homeschooling. It's so horrible out there for my children. Grow up! Dig down deep. Persevere. Get people around you. Cry with them. Fast with them. Mourn with them. Walk with them. Pray with them. But learn the praying threshold. I watched one of my friend's wives recently, this American girl. I watched her go through a situation that was so painful. And she could have just said to her husband, babe, we're out of here. We are out of here. And I watched her persevere. And I watched God produce character inside of her. And then I watched hope take place in her. Then I watched the love of God flow into her. And 3 Sundays ago, I heard her. I said, it's the best I've ever heard your voice. But no one knows the journey of the last 3 months over her life. Who was the most influential man who ever walked this earth? We have to say Jesus. Our whole calendar is decided by the day Jesus was born. And yet he went through the greatest pain and he had the greatest influence. Friends, we cannot bypass trouble. You children who lost your dad. I'm married to a woman whose father was murdered. God, where were you? God, huh? I don't know. I can't predict the future, but I can predict how I respond to it, and I can predict who I want to be with in the future, and I can, with hope, know who will be in my future. And I watched her go through it. And suffering produces perseverance. You know, perseverance is, friends, it means making a decision around what is important in your life. So if I gave you a 20 kg gold bar and a 20 liter water bottle and said to you, you're going to go on a journey, and in front of you I painted a picture of a beautiful island, you would take both. And if I opened it up and said it's a desert, you'd probably still want to take both. And then you would walk, and when you were 20 k's into the desert, you would look at this thing and think, what's important? What's important? They both weigh 20 kgs, but what's important? And the thing that's not important, you'll put down. You know why we're going through a tough time? You know how God is going to do? He's going to allow us to do a reconciliation about what's important and to put down everything that will not help us survive. And so we're making choices now, and some of those choices are to put things away that are not important, that we can't take with us to heaven. We're talking about decisions about glory and about future and about hope, and some things that we've gathered along the way are not needed in order to persevere. Bare grills, you don't need all that stuff. We just take the bare minimum. So this is not a misery, what's happening right now. It is a ministry for God to deal with the excess in my life so that I can get through this thing with flying colors. Her dad died. I watched this. She lived in a flat in Durban. She had to get a waitressing job, and she persevered, and she persevered, and she persevered, and she had to walk a kilometer to catch the minor bus to get to university, and she persevered, and then she had to get the minor bus to town and another minor bus to the restaurant, and she had to earn it. She could have just said, why did you take my dad, God? Why did you take my dad? She persevered, and she persevered, and she persevered, and she persevered. I am married to the woman with the greatest character I've ever met in my life. Because of the way she responded to her dad's death. And now what happens, friends, is I save my bottom off. So when my kids get licenses, I give them cars and they just get in the car and they just get to their place. And sometimes we bypass the process that God wants to use to teach us how to become the hope of a nation in crisis. Read Romans 5. Read Romans 5 And the final thing is this. We rejoice in our reconciliation. I rejoice in my position in Christ. I rejoice in my pain. And I rejoice in my reconciliation. I am reconciled. Say reconciled. People of 3CR, let me tell you this. There is nothing, 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 nothing that you can do to break the reconciliation you have with God. Nothing. 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 The Truth and Reconciliation Commission cost $18 million a year in South Africa. It lasted for 7 years. $2.5 billion and only 21,000 people's cases were heard. And people went there and they pled for mercy. Oh, I did something. And I think only 5,000 people. You know what, friends, in this room, there, I don't know how many, 749 people. And we went before God and said, Lord, this is the truth about my life, Lord God. I'm greedy, I'm a glutton, I'm gay, I'm a sexually immoral people. Lord God, please. And he says, I will impart righteousness to you. I will credit you with righteousness. And immediately you'll be reconciled. Rejoice in your position in Christ. Rejoice in your pain. Because God is producing character. I'm married to Mornay Steyn, woman version in Pretoria. If you need a cool head under pressure, then you go to my wife, because she moved to a flat in the Berea and she had to walk through one of the dodgiest parts of town to get you to Virtus Esti, and she had to trust God because she didn't have a dad, and she called on God and she called on God, and she was mugged a few times, and she called on God and she called on God, and now she sits there and I get to live with her. Romans chapter 5. Say rejoice. 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 Say rejoice. Rejoice. Say rejoice. Rejoice. You might be depressed, but positionally, you're standing by God's grace in His throne room through access, peace, justification, and reconciliation. In Jesus' name, amen.